You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, myself, John Kelly, here with the King of Kentucky Backpacking, the man who is way more stylish than I am, with that amazing hat that he's wearing right now, Mr. Jeremiah Stringer. How are we, man?
Hey, what's up, dude? I'm wearing a hat because my hair is a mess. That's the whole reason for it.
I wear a hat because my hairline doesn't give me a forehead. It gives me like an 8 head.
Well, so we all have our reasons.
I can lift my hat up to here and people think I'm just bald.
That's a good look, man. And
I mean, it's amazing how high my hairline is. I think there's there has to be some Guinness World Record for like the height of a forehead that you could possibly ever have.
I don't know about that, but it looks like your beard is looking great, dude. You got it trimmed up, styling and profiling.
Yeah, got the fade going. It's starting to fill out a little bit more. It's starting to get cold.
Yes.
So it's time to get that beard game going. But there's a more important game I want to talk about right now, Jeremiah. A way more important game that I want the people to see, and that is the poll that we did this past week.
Yeah, we've been doing polls on the podcast. So if you're listening on Spotify, you can vote in that poll. And I think John made one on our community page as well.
And I think what it proved is that I'm the better backpacker. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there, because according to the poll, Jeremiah's gear punches got 24% of the poll. JK's gear kicks got 62%. And it doesn't just end there. That's just on YouTube. But if we go ahead and throw in Spotify, we see that I got 58% on that one and you got 26%. Wow. Otherwise, 16% that said our gear sucks. But
dude, those reflect each other very well. It's about the same on Spotify and on YouTube. And I love how
all I want to say is it was a dominating win. It was a dominating win this time.
Well,
for Team JK.
In my defense, when I made the poll, it limits the number of characters that you can type in for people to vote on. So I didn't get to put my entire little quote or whatever that you get to vote on.
What does that have to do with voting on your gear?
I feel like
if voting on like definitions or words, they're voting on gear.
I feel like if I could have written out my entire little thing that you vote for me for, then I would have had an edge, because language matters, man.
It's a gear poll, bro. You lost. Just own it, man. Come on.
I think that 15%. It appears 15% of the people doesn't like either of our gear. Did you see that?
Well, that's just expected, I think.
We also did
I think
get
that's a, just expected. People are just going to – there's always going to be somebody just doesn't like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And in the comments on YouTube, we got a bunch of awesome comments on there. I don't know if you read through those. I responded to some of them, but yeah, some people were explaining how they were voting and how maybe I have one piece that's more expensive, but it's very practical. You know, it just depends on who you are and what your budget is.
Oh yeah. And there were some people I'm a bigger guy, so I'm going with JK's gear, or I'm a taller guy, so I'm going with Jeremiah's gear. What they don't realize is that the gear that we have, you can get it for taller people and for bigger people. So
yeah, and that's true. And
that's okay. Except well the tents, though, I will say the Duplex L is definitely geared for tall guys.
Oh yeah.
So that definitely is a deal thing there. Yo, so
speaking of games, dude, college football is back. I don't know what you did with your Saturday, but we put everything on pause and watched a little UK Wildcat football.
Yeah, I commented. Your wife actually posted on Facebook that she was getting ready to put up Halloween decorations. I was like, "Where's the college football decorations?"
Yeah, well, my dad and I were sitting and watching the game, and she started rummaging around in the storage closet and getting out these big containers of whatever, like orange sparkly skeletons. And she has these little skeletons that she ordered on Amazon that you can, like, I don't know, I think it's like Elf on the Shelf, but for Halloween. Like, she puts them all around the house. She'll put them, like, dangling off of a rack in the bathroom, or she'll put them, like, you know, swimming in a bowl of candy in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, you can change them all different ways.
Do you want to see how I watched football until Ohio State came on?
Oh, how did you watch it?
Like this.
Oh, my gosh. Is that a quad screen?
It is a single. It's a single TV screen, but I've got YouTube TV, and so, like, they allow you to do multi-view. So I was literally watching four games at the same time. And then I started to see the Colorado game. Did you watch the Colorado game?
I thought about going back and watching it, because I saw there were, not to spend too much time on college football, but
yeah.
I saw Deion Sanders and Coach Prime was talking a bunch of trash. And I seen Prime shove the other coach in the interviews at, like, you know, they go out and shake hands and all the cameras follow him out at the end of the game and the coaches walk out to midfield shaking. He, like, shoved the other coach. Like, there was no blood lost between them.
Oh, no, it was really awesome because he was getting so much garbage because, like, TCU was in the national championship game last year.
Yeah, Georgia, man, put him to sleep.
In Colorado, it had been, like, I forget the insane number of games it's been since they won a road game against a ranked team, but they came in and nobody thought they were going to win, and Deion Sanders' son threw for, like, 500 yards and four touchdowns or something crazy. Yes,
510 yards. Did you put that as your big... your big game, you switched from the quad screen to one big Colorado screen?
Well, I got the Colorado game on, then I did the quad screen again. So,
okay.
You know, I watched UK take care of business. Oklahoma absolutely destroy Arkansas State. So it was a lot of fun. I got to watch a lot of college football. I love fall. Fall to me is the best time of year, right?
Oh, because I totally agree.
It's the best time to go backpacking by a long shot. It's the best time to go backpacking. The weather starts to cool down. The leaves start to change. It just gets beautiful here in the States. And so I love fall because also football kicks in. It becomes chili season. So I'm starting eating some chili, you know, and hot chocolate and s'mores and campfires. And come on, man. Fall's the best time of year.
Yeah. Period. There was a little Christmas in the air. And Bridget said yesterday, you know, we need to get out and go camping. I said, oh, yeah. Fall's here, baby. Football, camping. Oh, man. And
so speaking of that, when are you going out again?
Well, looking at my calendar here, I think not this weekend, but next weekend I'll get out for, it's not technically my first fall backpacking trip, but I've only been able to hang out with Mr. Backpacking with Jason, sir, for the kayaking trip since I've been back from Spain. So I'm having withdrawals. Typically, I'm I love it. I usually am able to get out with him once or twice a month, but it's been a little slow. We're both really, really busy. So, you know, school kicking back in, and that keeps me really busy.
Yeah, I've been fighting through a foot injury, and I think it's finally healed up. So I'm going out Thursday night, coming back on Saturday. So. Man. It's frustrating. I was supposed to go. This is something that a lot of people don't realize. I switched jobs recently. I just had, you know, I work in a church, and my last Sunday was this week, and I start a new job tomorrow. And I was supposed to go to California and do the Trans Catalina Trail, and wasn't able to do it because of just the insane timing of when this new job started and everything like that. So I'm going out to the Red River Gorge on Thursday night, and I have no idea what we're going to do right now. We're just kind of going to go out there and get lost, I think, and then find our way back to the vehicles and go home.
Well, there's plenty of spots to get lost out there, and there's always something that you haven't checked out.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
I'm excited.
So, Jeremiah, we got to get to the topic at hand, man. We got to get to the topic at hand.
Okay.
Because today is the Q&A to end all Q&As.
That's funny. I don't think it'll be our last Q&A, but we are, well, John, I should say, is ultra prepared. Now, I just woke up, brushed my teeth, and then was ready to record. But John has been putting in the work. He's up in production value, and
I've been working hard.
I feel like you've written hard. Three research papers getting ready for this.
I'll tell you, man, it was pages after pages after pages of sifting through questions and getting online and just making sure we had the correct answers and, you know, calling colleagues to, like, double check my information. You know, it was just, it was a lot.
Yeah,
it was a lot. It was a sacrifice, though, for the channel and for the podcast. So I'm more than willing to do it.
It's for the audience.
It is. It's for you. It's for you, the listener. So, Jeremiah, here's our first question. Our first question is actually somebody we know, and it's actually three questions.
Oh, that's a cheat code, but I'll allow it.
And this is from Unlikely Hiker. She says, will Jeremiah ever have merch?
Yes. Yes, he will. Now, I can't say.
At this point, it feels like an empty promise.
I can't say the timeline. I can't say the timeline, but yeah. The glow up is real.
Okay. Well, I'm at the point now. I just don't believe you, but we'll see what happens.
I'm here to prove people wrong. That's my agenda.
Maybe that's what it takes, is that when everybody gives up believing in you, then suddenly you'll have merch and we'll all have to shut up about it.
I'm just waiting for the faith to die.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm going to hit that.
So what is the most epic place or view you've ever had the pleasure of digging a cat hole?
Man, that's a tough one. I would probably say whenever we were in Colorado, there was one spot that we camped at where I dug a cat hole, and in front of me, there was like an overlook of this big, I don't know how many acres, but a big lake formed by snow melt in the Colorado Rockies. And you had like snow on top of, it was like snow-capped mountains. You had the pines around you. You had the lake in front of you. And I could see fish swimming around in the lake while I was sitting
there.
That
sounds picturesque.
Oh, dude, it was amazing. The only thing that would have made it better is some other wildlife coming through. Maybe, I don't know what lives that high up, but I don't know, a deer or something walking through in the distance. And I think you could have given that a 5-star poop.
That sounds incredible. I think for me, when I was in Pictured Rocks, the only reason I mention is because a lot of times when I'm pooping, I'm holding onto a tree. So my view is a tree right in front of me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because that's usually what you're doing. But when I was at Pictured Rocks, you were in a pit toilet that was sitting out in the middle of everything. I was just in the open. No walls around you. You could just sit and relax. You're not having to hold on to anything. And just looking at beauty while you're sitting there doing the deuce. So I really liked that. I thought that was going to be really nerve-wracking for me, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really looking forward to going back up there at some point so I can poop in those pit toilets again.
It's quite refreshing, man. You ever watch Rick and Morty?
A little bit.
You seen the episode where the, I guess there's a bunch of aliens there, but there's an alien that Rick has like this planet that he goes and poops on privately, and an alien finds it and poops there, and then the whole episode is them kind of fighting back and forth on if they're friends or not and blah, blah, blah. You seen that?
No.
Oh, dude. After what you just explained to me, you got to watch that episode because
I'm going to have to.
It semi-reflects the feelings that you were having sitting up there on that pit toilet looking out over the beauty.
I'll tell you, man, there's nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like it. Okay, so any big plans for 2024?
I think that I have one trip that I was invited on, but it's like right when school starts. And it's a biggie, but I don't think I'll be able to go because my school starts like the first week of August. You know, it's not like college where you start the second week of September or whatever. So That would be amazing. I would love to get up to Pictured Rocks during the summer of 2024 and see if I can backpack that because that's a biggie that it seems like all my friends have done, but I've never, you know, the stars never aligned for me to do it. So
well, if you ask nice enough, I might be willing to go with you.
Oh, there we go. I got the expert here. How many times have you done it?
I've only done it once, but I'd love to go again because I was kind of coming off. That was the first time I'd ever had an injury on trail was before that trip. Mm-hmm. And so for the first half of the trip, I was kind of being careful. Now I want to go out there and climb on everything and go out to everything and do the things I didn't do last time.
Oh, yeah, dude. We should make that happen.
I think we should.
We'll ease on
for
up.
For me north. Next year, I told you I'm working at a new church.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guys I'm working with wants to go to the Grand Canyon really bad. And so the two of us are hopefully going to plan a trip with my buddy Josh, and we're going to do a rim to rim at the Grand Canyon, hopefully this next year. So
the rim to rim, so what exactly does that look like for the backpacking trip? Is it a week long? Is it 4 days long? And what's the terrain like? Are you going down in the canyon? Or are you staying around the rim and kind of
backpacking? Oh, you go down into the canyon and then come back up out of it.
Okay.
If you want to see, I'll tell you some great videos. The Midwest boys all went to do that one. Miyagi and Rob Pelton and Midwest Backpacker, they all went down in there. Jeremy LaCroix, they all went down in there and did that and had some great videos. And if you want to see what it's like, those are great videos to watch. Don't watch Dan Becker's because we're not going to do it the way Dan did it.
is that where he fainted?
That's where he almost died. Yeah. So we won't be doing it when the weather's like that. I can promise you that. We don't know exactly when we're going to do it. We just want to get it planned and get out there. So we're going to look at what the cost is as far as like permits and if we can even get a permit. And if anybody knows anything about getting out there and doing a rim to rim, I've never done it, but I want to. So shoot me some info about it. I'd love to hear how to get out there so we can do that one.
Speaking of permits, did it basically die? The whole got to have a permit to film outside and YouTube makes it complicated and blah, blah, blah when it comes to the federal land and all that?
I don't know. I haven't heard any updates on it, to be honest with you.
I haven't heard anybody get arrested or fined, and you'd think that would be a story.
I haven't yet, no. So, but I don't leave anything past government, so, you know.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
You don't know what's going to happen. So, our next question is from Delta Safari Show. When can we expect Miranda Goes Outside on the live stream for an epic poop-a-thon?
Miranda Goes Outside, so she does REI's videos, right?
She used to do REI's videos.
Okay.
But she's got her own channel now. She actually separated from them a while back now.
Oh, see, I seen a thumbnail from one of her videos, and it was like, I worked at REI for 12 years. This is what you should buy from REI stores.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So she's doing her own thing. I actually reached out to her on Instagram, but she has... you never know when people see your messages or not. Like, people will message us on Instagram, and she's got
months.
Well, sometimes it sends it to request, and like, you know, you may not see it, or if it's somebody that doesn't follow you or you don't follow them or something, and they're just trying to get a hold of you. Sometimes I don't know. It's like it's hidden, and you got to go in and click. But
she's definitely on our radar. That's for sure.
Yeah, I reached out to her, and I haven't heard back. So, I don't know.
So, Miranda, we know you're listening. We know we are your favorite podcast. So, just reach out. We'll have you on. It'd be great.
I'd love to have her on the show, but it's tough getting hold of different people.
It is. Next question. Backpacking tips for an aging roofer with aching joints. Let's just say the miles seem to be getting harder.
Yeah, well, that means... you got to use it to your advantage. That means that you can have more fun and bring more stuff and just not walk as far. Maybe it's only a half mile in and you got everything that you want, a grill rack, a cooler. I mean, whatever you can think of that you can carry, you only got to take it a quarter of a mile or a half mile.
Or on the opposite end of that, do what I'm doing and just go all in on ultralight. So that your back and your knees and your ankles aren't feeling it as much when you get out there because of all the weight on your back. You've really got two options that are Jeremiah's option, which is a fantastic one. Maybe do shorter trips, but take more stuff and have more fun, or drop the weight of your gear, you know, invest in some really lightweight gear and protect those joints.
Yeah, that's the two extremes. And if you want to go kind of in between, I think like day hikes are great. It's a great tool that allows you to kind of see some of the things that you would have seen backpacking or would have saw backpacking without that extra weight on your back. So maybe you can walk a little further and then you car camp, you know, back at a campsite that you already have set up and established. And then you don't have to carry everything in with you. You got to see some of the same views or some of the same experiences that you would have got backpacking. That's like my serious answer.
Yeah, and base camping, you know?
Oh, base
camping. Hike with your stuff in a couple miles, find a base camp, and then just always camp there, and then bring like a small pack that you can just take to day hike during the day, and then come back to the same campsite every night.
Yeah, and it may sound like you're not getting the same experience that you would have gotten if you had have been able to do a typical, stereotypical backpacking trip. But that's okay. Like, you're getting a different experience, but it doesn't mean it's better or worse. It's different. It's an opportunity to explore other, like, non-traditional, you know, methods and routes for your trip. Can't look at it as, like, I got cheated out of being able to do it this way. It's more of an opportunity.
Well, yeah, and the nice thing about the base camping option is you do get to go out in the woods and stay out there. You're not at a populated campsite with a bunch of cars and all that stuff when you do that. So it can more emulate a typical backpacking trip, but it allows you to get miles without as much wear and tear. Mm. So there's some really good options there. Jeremiah, I think we did good on that one.
Oh, that was
how about this one right here? What is this? How did Jeremiah get so handsome and smart at backpacking?
Oh, that's a good question. John, why don't you answer?
Who is Jeremiah Stringer Hikes? What is this?
If you're watching on YouTube, obviously you could see that this comment was left by Jeremiah Stringer Hikes' Instagram.
Is somebody managing your account for you, or are you just vain?
That's my secretary. They must have. They must have got on there and they said some kind words. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Keep up the good work. You deserve a raise.
Oh my god!
I don't know. How did he get so handsome? Who knows?
All right, this one's kind of looking funky. Let's see if we can actually make this fit on the screen here. Look at this, real time, folks.
Oh, look at that,
Ben McMillan. I want to know how you two met and who made the first move. Answer this one because I know the answer to both.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it.
I think we've told this story before, but if we haven't, before I started my YouTube channel, I got on a phone call with Dan Becker, and we were talking one day, and just talking about life and all this kind of stuff, and he goes, hey, I got a friend named Jeremiah who lives in Kentucky. I think he lives an hour from where you live. You should give him a call and talk to him. And so he gave me Jeremiah's number. Now, when I was talking to Dan, I was totally geeking out at the time. I think Dan had a total of, like, 5,000 subscribers at the time, and to me, that was, like, the biggest channel on the planet. You know, like, that was amazing. And the other guy that I'd been watching all the time was Jeremiah. So low key, I'm geeking out when he gives me Jeremiah Stringer's phone number. And so I call up Jeremiah and I'm like, hey, my name's John. I've got this channel. Dan said I should call you and we should chat. And Jeremiah goes, okay. I can't talk right now. I got stuff going on, but I'm going on a flight to hike the long trail, and I've got to drive to Nashville. I can talk to you then. And I'm like, that sounds great, man. And so I gave him my number, not expecting to get a phone call, because I was like, oh, that he totally was just like saying that to be nice. So next thing I know, a few days later, I get a phone call from Jeremiah, and I sit on my back deck, and we talk for his entire drive down to Nashville. And that's where the romance started.
Yeah. So I don't think eBay made the first move, but it looks like it worked out fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, and so that's how it all began, folks. That's where the love started, right there. So, next question. If Jeremiah was president, what would he do for national parks first?
Man. For national parks, I probably would visit them. That's what I would do first. I don't know.
I would bless them with my presence.
Well, it's not that. I'm not trying to bless them with my presence. I'm like, well, I don't know what I would do first, because if I haven't been to them, how would you even know? You know, you got to go assess the problems, you know, come up with a game plan before you can have an effective solution. So Jeremiah is president of I don't know what, but we would check out the national parks, see what they have to offer, and figure out, you know, how can we make them better? I guess. I don't know.
I think, and could you lift the photography and video bans?
Oh, yeah.
On the national parks?
I can take care of that for you, John. That'll just, my John Hancock, and it's done.
I think that would be, if you would do that, you would please so many YouTubers, for sure.
Yeah. I think I could.
All right. That. Loafer X wants to know, will either of your beards look as good as your logo ever again?
Oh. That's a funny question.
It's funny. If you've ever seen our logo, it's two guys with beards and glasses. And those are our actual beards. Like, that's what our beards look like at the time.
Yeah, John made the
logo.
Yeah, it's like a silhouette. John made that using some kind of funky software. My beard actually looked like that again afterward. Maybe it wasn't quite as long, but it was like 80%, you know, 75%. My beard's growing out right now. I just told Bridget yesterday. I was like, Bridget, look, the beard's growing out thick. And she's like, I know. And I said, you know what else? Starting to get a little crispness to the air.
Getting chilly.
We're in September. Fall is coming. It may be time to ease the beard on out. But I don't know. I've been dressing up like 3 days a week for work, wearing a tie a couple of days, maybe a little sport coat or something. We got 2 days that we can wear jeans. And I don't know how well the mountain man beard goes with, you know, a sport coat. So we'll see. I'm living a dual life here.
To me, it's just kind of like wearing a tuxedo t-shirt. It shows you're classy, but you like to party. You
with
know?
The
so
beard?
It's like, yeah. So like if you're wearing the tie and you got the beard, it means you're classy.
Are you saying
you
that
like party?
I'll be sporting the equivalent of a mullet. If I'm
I didn't say business up front, party in the back. Well, I said I'm classy and I like to party. Those are two different things, man.
Well, it sounds to me like the suit is business and the beard is party.
Well, it is.
Oh, it's not a mullet. It's just similar.
It's not a mullet because business is not necessarily classy.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, anyways, next question. This is from Christian Toten. If you had to pick one outdoor brand to use for the rest of your life, which would it be and why? I actually know this one. This one's actually easy for me, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think of a company that makes everything that I would need.
I'm gonna go with Outdoor Vitals.
Outdoor Vitals does make, well, I guess they have the tent. They got the pack. They got the pad.
Pretty much everything except for, like, footwear.
Yeah.
They pretty much make everything else you need.
They make socks.
That's what I'm saying, footwear. That's the only thing they don't make are socks and shoes, but they do make underwear. They make clothing. They make tents, backpacks. And here's the thing. I think Outdoor Vitals is one of the most underrated companies in the outdoor business right now. Because the stuff they're coming out with is fantastic. And it's well-made. It's well thought out. The only thing I would probably change about Outdoor Vitals is the way they make their shirts and stuff. I think they need to make them in two different versions. They need to make the skinny guy version and the not skinny guy version.
Oh yeah, their, you know, stuff is.
But that's it. I mean, that's the only thing I would change. I think what they're doing is, I mean, my favorite puffy jacket right now is, I think it's the Vario jacket is what it's called. I love that thing. It's real light. It's not very thick, but it still keeps you really warm. And I take that almost all my trips when it's like really chilly outside.
Is that the full zip?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the full zip. Cause you got the Ventus hoodie, which is just like a quarter zip, or a third zip or whatever it is. But yeah, I think they're making great gear. So I'm a huge fan. And it's not because they sponsor the channel. I actually really like their gear.
I think that if I could get Nemo to make backpacks, then that would be my pick. Because I use the Tensor. I like their Philo pillow. I love the Nemo Disco 15. That's what I used on the whole long trail, and it worked great. That was my sleeping bag. They, I don't think they make clothes.
They make killer tents. They make killer tents.
Yeah, though. Is it the Nemo Hornet? That's one of their super popular tents.
The Dragonfly, the Hornet. Yeah, they've got a lot of really good tents. And they're doing that Osmo fabric, it's a fabric that doesn't loosen up when it gets wet. You know, like silk nylon will get real loose and you have to retighten up your tent all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Osmo fabric just doesn't do that.
Well, if I could get them to make the other stuff that I would need, I would probably go with them. I love Nemo. Outdoor Vitals is great too. It sounds like that they are more applicable for this question, but we differ.
Yeah, no, there's no problem with that. All right, the next question on our list. Do you guys fold or crumple?
Fold or crumple?
I don't even know what to do with that question.
Is that talking about like packing your sleeping bag up in your backpack or something?
I'll bet you it's tents. You want to bet that they're talking about tents?
Oh, yeah, you might be right. Some people fold their tents up.
Yeah, apparently. Well, I'm a crumpler. I'm going to be honest. I'm a crumpler.
When you say crumple, if you mean stuff it into a stuff sack without a care in the world of how it comes back out.
That's what I'm guessing. Yeah.
that's the definition of me. I thought that's the way you packed up tents.
Yeah, I thought so too. Now, I will say with the Dyneema tent, I don't do that as much because, you know, the tape and all that stuff. I think you're supposed to be more careful with them. I'm not really good about doing that every time. But
oh, really?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think it's considered better care for a Dyneema tent.
You know, they probably put it in the instructions, but as a typical backpacking dude.
I don't read it. I don't read instructions.
No, even like setting up the tent, I'm like, yeah, you know what would be way better than these instructions? A video. They need to put like a QR code I can scan on the instructions, and it takes me directly to a really good video of how to set up the tent or whatever.
That's why I like the Durston tents so much. They do have a video for how to set up their tents.
We should try to work with companies, and this is our pitch. Hey, you know how you have those crappy instructions that come with all your equipment? Send us.
You know how you're failing at teaching people how to make
that's how you. That's how you warm up the waters. You know, get the relationship started. Start with insulting.
You
know
why you suck?
Yeah, you got to insult them, or maybe we should make it a compliment sandwich. First, we compliment them, then insult them.
I like that.
Then compliment again, and then give our pitch. But here's our pitch: your directions suck. Why don't you send us the product? Okay. Send us money, and we will send you content that's really good of how to set it up. And then on your instructions, just put a QR code, and it takes you directly to my channel for a video that you paid me for, and I get to keep the equipment. What do you think about that pitch? Is that a pretty strong pitch?
This started out as a we thing, and then it turned into a me thing. Suddenly it's like, then go to my channel where I'm making money. I'm going, wait a second. I thought we were doing this together now. Like,
well, you get to decide on what companies that you want. Like you said, or, Outdoor Vitals. I said Nemo.
Or we just do it on the Backpacking Podcast website.
Oh, and that's a good
and
idea.
We make it a 50-50 split. And you do half the videos. I do half the videos. Or
let's do them together. We can make
them together.
We can make them even better. And we can make even more money.
Because I've got the really expensive camera and you've got the good looks. It's going to work out well.
I can't endorse what
you've
just said.
You've got the hair, too. I don't have the hair, man. We already talked about this. I look like I'm bald.
Well, I do have hair.
Even though there is hair.
Mine's up there somewhere.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I say, let's partner up on this, John. Let's figure out which companies we can insult first, and we'll go after.
So, any
sharks.
Of you companies out there that suck at teaching people how to put up their tents, let us know. We'll
yeah,
help you.
Maybe we also need some coaching on how to tactfully say things, because it doesn't seem like I'm very good at that either. maybe some social media training or something. I don't know.
I think you're right about that. I think you're right. Andy Parrish Outdoors asks the question: if nothing ever sticks to Teflon, how do they make Teflon stick to the pan? Well, Andy, you're in luck, buddy, because I looked that up online because that question interested me. So, this is this is This is online right now. I did the googlies, and this is what came up. It said, you might guess Teflon somehow sticks to metal better than it does to eggs, but in reality, the polymer slides right off metallic surfaces too. In order to get Teflon to stick to a pan, the metal is sandblasted. A primer coat of Teflon seeps into the tiny holes and cracks, and the Teflon is baked into the pan. You are welcome.
Wow. Textbook answer.
So there it is. So, Andy, you're welcome.
Oh, nicely done. I don't know if we're I don't know if we're exactly the resource that you would try to seek out for information on Teflon, but it worked out in your favor, Andy, because John is an expert on Teflon.
I am. I've actually got a degree in it, so it's really nice. But I have no degree in Teflon. Okay, so next question. Whoa, that one got real big. What is that? Let's try that again, kids. Did you see that, Jeremiah?
That's top-notch production value here on the Backpacking Podcast. I'll tell you what, man.
Every once in a while, I get one that doesn't want to play nice and is doing it again. I don't know what we're going to do with this one, Jeremiah. It's just being all kinds of mean. Hey, there we go.
Oh, Fat Man Ooh. Adventures 8344. You think he's ironically not fat?
Wouldn't it be funny if he's just some skinny dude? I don't think it's fair, though, that he identifies as fat, but he's not.
Yeah, so, that would anyways. Be a double standard.
So any tips on backpacking as a big guy? How about any tips as a big guy that brings his dog everywhere? I want to get into this hiking, but I'm not small. Well, here's the thing, dude. I'm a big guy, and I've been backpacking since 2016. And, dude, just go do it. Start off small, do shorter trips, get your body used to it, and go for longer trips. Start getting your gear now, buy some cheaper stuff, and then kind of upgrade as you go. I mean, it's the same thing I would tell anybody else who's wanting to get into backpacking. Just because you're big doesn't mean you can't go out there and do it.
Well,
I mean, you just got to get out there.
I don't know what he means by big guy. I mean, his name is Fat Man Adventures 8344, so maybe he's got a little extra bulk. If that's the case, I would probably get the long, wide version of each thing that you buy, so you'll be a little more comfortable. I would say Body Glide is going to be a really good friend of yours because, like, I played high school.
Especially in hot weather.
Oh,
especially
in hot weather. Yeah, because as a bigger guy, you know, you're going to sweat.
Buddy.
That's right. As a bigger guy, you're going to sweat, and chafing is the enemy. I played high school football, and I was about 275 pounds. I was offensive lineman. And Body Glide, it will help get you through. Body Glide, baby powder, anti-monkey butt. Cornstarch,
friction control from Arm & Hammer.
Yeah, any of those is going to be fine. Now, for the dogs, if you're taking your dogs backpacking, I'd make sure I have a leash. Especially, you know, if you're going on a more popular trail. But my main concern with backpacking with my dogs is not overexerting them and keep making sure that they are warm at night. So what I did was I brought like you can go to Lowe's and get, it's almost like bubble wrap, but it's silver on each side. And people, I think, use it to like line their garage doors and that kind of stuff as insulation. So you can get like a roll of that or order it on Amazon. And it's super light. You just roll it up, strap it on the outside of your backpack, and then that gives your dog a mat to lay on in your tent. So just stay aware of that.
I was going to say, I'd also add, if it's hot out and you're going to be hiking with your dog, make sure you plan a trip where you're hiking near water quite a bit so your dog can jump down in there and cool off. Because dogs can get overheated just like people. And give your dog the opportunity to cool itself off from time to time.
Yeah. And don't worry about being big. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can still get out there and backpack. No. Don't let it limit you.
Yeah. And to go along with what Jeremiah is saying, something else to really think about is when you're buying backpacks, make sure that hip belt's big. Make sure it's really big, because if it's not, you're going to be miserable. You're going to get pinched in different areas on your gut. Also, finding a backpack that sits off of your back a little bit, something like an Osprey pack that has the airflow system in it, or like the Arc Halls that they have from Z-Pack, something where it pulls off your back a little. You're always going to sweat a little bit, but big guys have a higher tendency to overheat. So it's always good to give yourself options where you're not going to overheat as much. And don't be afraid when you start hiking and it's cooler out. Be bold, start cold. That's especially true to bigger guys. Because like I said, bigger guys are more apt at overheating. So just be prepared for that.
Yeah. Now he's got a little something, no pun intended, a little something to munch on there to figure out how to get started. But like John said, number one, just get out there and do it. That's
absolutely.
That's how you start.
Yep. Let's see if this one's going to be nice to us. No, it's not.
Oh, it's huge.
It's hating on us now all of a sudden. I don't know what the deal is here, but.
You're a professional. I trust
you. Jay Bird, you got a long one here, dude. All right. I'm curious about barefoot shoes. I work lawn maintenance and walk miles every day. And a lot of that time, I carry a backpack mower. It transitioned very well over to hiking. Carrying a bag for miles is nothing now. My feet are another issue. I saw some ads for those barefoot shoes, and I think you covered them in an episode a while back. Anyway, I was curious if they actually work and are viable, or are they a gimmick?
Yeah. So disclaimer, I don't think John or I, either of us, wear those barefoot shoes.
I don't even like zero drop shoes. So this is going to be something that Jeremiah is going to tackle.
And also, John said a backpack mower. I think it's like a leaf blower. So he's always like carrying around
an extra. Backpack blower. Sorry, I said mower.
No worries.
Backpack blower.
So if you're going to go with the barefoot shoes, I mean, it's in the name, right? Barefoot. So they're a minimalist shoe. And I went to college with a guy. I actually played high school football with him and then roomed with him my freshman year. And he wore these. And he's also a CrossFitter. So I'll tell you, they don't offer a whole lot of protection, obviously, if you're going to be out in the woods. And if you are going to try them, definitely like use them for an hour or two, not at the woods, like you break them in over time because they don't provide the support that typical shoes provide. Like I wear trail runners and then I will put in inserts like Pinnacle Power Step are the inserts that I use, and they give my feet a lot of support and prevent plantar fasciitis, that and calf stretches. And those barefoot shoes, if you're prone to plantar fasciitis or if your feet are not used to walking in zero drop shoes, then you're going to have some issues, whether it is like calves or hip alignment or just working muscles that you don't normally work. And also like the tendons, ligaments, bones, and muscles in your feet and ankles are going to be getting strained that they don't normally get because they're used to the support that your typical shoe wears. So if you are serious about like wearing those minimalist style shoes, you definitely want to start slow and you definitely want to just wear them around instead of just putting them on and being like, I'm doing a 30-mile backpacking trip in 3 days, you know, this weekend, and I'm going to try out my new barefoot shoes. Because your feet have to get strong before you can put a lot of stress on them without the support that they normally have. So you're going to be prone to injury, not only mechanical, but just from, you know, walking without the support.
Right. And the calf thing is no joke. Like if you're not used to zero drop and you start hiking in them, your calves are going to be sore.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize just a few millimeters means a lot when it's your heel compared to your foot or the front of your foot, I should say. So just be prepared for that. Some people, they can transition to them really easily. I never really liked them. They're not comfortable to me, and I don't enjoy hiking in zero drop very much, but I know a lot of people that really love them. Hey, most innovative gear of 2023, both the big three and smaller items.
Ooh, man. I feel underprepared on all the gear that I know for 2023, but we're actually toward the end of 2023, so there's a lot of awesome gear that's came out. Is there anything in particular that struck your fancy that you thought was super innovative this year?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the Zoom insulated pad from Big Agnes. It's I think the R rating is 4.3, and the wide regular only weighs 18 ounces, and the wide long only weighs 20 ounces.
Oh, so they're getting lightweight.
It's lightweight. It's super comfortable. everything about it's great. I'm actually using that one this weekend when I go out to the Gorge. I've already slept on it a couple times and love it. It's a great pad.
I'm not sure how innovative this is. It kind of feels like how Apple, they'll like improve a feature that Samsung has been doing for the past 7 years, and they'll make it as perfect as it can get, or in their eyes, pretty perfect. And then they'll integrate it in a phone. And I feel like Z-Packs has done that with their zipper system. They, like I said, I don't know how innovative it is, but they've changed it, and now it reflects more of the traditional style zipper system instead of the rainbow doors, mm-hmm. which we talked about a couple of times over the past few weeks. So I won't spend too long on this, but I feel like that was a good change, and that's about all I have on the innovative.
Another one I like, and this is kind of a like it's like smaller items kind of thing. Is this little guy right here? This is the FlexTail Tiny Repel, and it's a mosquito repellent that it's got these little discs that you put inside of it. It's rechargeable. It's also got a lamp on it, and you can use this just to keep the insects away from you when you're out at camp. If there's one thing that's annoying when you're camping out, it's that you're sitting around the fire, but you're getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. This little thing right here is fantastic, and it works really well. I used it on a 97-degree day camping out with my buddy Sean at a state park here in Kentucky. And, man, I can't tell you how useful that was once I got it on and was able to keep the bugs off me the rest of the night.
Man, that is a hot day. It's so hot.
It was blazing hot. But, so I think this is just a great little item. And FlexTail also redid their pump this year. In the past, the pump was on the side. So it kind of sat weird. Like, it just was kind of awkward. Well, now the pump comes in through one end and out the other. And then you can take your valve and put it on the other side. And you can actually deflate your pad really quick also using that.
Oh, does it suck the air out?
Yeah, it sucks the air right out.
Oh.
So
that is perfect, it's great. Man. What is your system for whenever you're about to roll up your pad?
Actually, I use the pump to get it done quick.
Well, before the
pump. I hate being the last person done.
Before the pump.
So I'll take the... What's that?
Before the pump.
What do you mean before the pump? I pull the thing up, put the pump in, and let it deflate it, and then I fold it up and roll it.
I know, but the pump didn't always exist. So you've been on many, trips.
Oh, you're talking pre-pump.
Yeah.
Like if there was an AD for the pump. I would just... When I would get up in the morning, I would just open up the valve and let it deflate and go eat breakfast, all that kind of stuff, come back. And usually by the time I got back, there was no air left in it. And then keep the valve open, fold it up most of the way. Then once I get it pretty much done, then I close the valve.
Oh, you never open up the valve and then lay on it and let it deflate?
Well, I mean, I'm on it when I open up the valve in the first place. So.
Oh, you're saying the excess just kind of leaks out while you're doing your chores and breakfast and all that.
Yeah, that way I'm not having to come back and try and do it after I eat breakfast.
I got you. I like to let mine deflate while I'm laying on it, and then I'll get up and I'll roll it with the valve open, and then I close it.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Close it, and then roll it up like I'm going to store it, and then open the valve up whenever I get to the very, very end and push out the excess air.
Yeah, that's a great way to do that.
It's effective.
It's very effective. And the next question on our list... Would Mrs. JK consider a backpacking trip with something like Goat Packing Com at Goat Packing Com or one of the llama outfitters? Okay, so I guess it's backpacking with goats or llamas.
I don't know. I'm going to give it a goog.
Yeah, goog that, man. But I'm going to say my wife, if it's not in a camper, we're probably not going. She's not going with me. Like, when we got married, I wasn't into backpacking. We got married 2 years before I got into backpacking. So... There was never this expectation of the outdoors when we got married. And she is definitely not an outdoors person. That's not really her thing. So I don't know that anything is going to like get her to actually backpack. So
I looked it up.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can switch over to my screen there. I think I have it pulled up to where you can see it. This is by backpacker.com. So I would
say the goats carry your backpack for you. That goat does not look happy.
goat's.
No, he's... That goat looks like it's dying. Okay, for people who aren't watching right now, but you're listening, we're looking at a screen, and there's a guy holding a leash for a goat, and the goat is just laying down with what looks like 120 pounds worth of backpacking gear on its back. It does not look happy.
Yeah, and the guy has a backpack, too. What's the point in having the goat if you have to wear a backpack with a hip belt and...
Oh, my gosh.
It says, goat packing is a whole new way to hike. Goats are perfect pack animals. Agile, compliant, and low-impact beasts of burden. Right?
And then that's, it doesn't look like it in that picture, man.
Well, it does say right, so it's maybe it's supposed to be ironic. Maybe,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you're right. I'm scrolling through here, and they got this big story, I guess, about this guy. Or this woman taking these goats and doing backpacking trips. 200-pound
animal.
What
do you do if they get annoyed and they just run off with your gear?
Well, you got to keep them leashed up, I guess. You can switch back.
Well, I'm looking at those pictures. They're not leashed off. They're just like walking around eating with someone's backpacking gear on them.
Unlike some pack animals, pack goats graze along the way. Goats hate water. The captions.
Well, what do you do if there's an inescapable water crossing?
I guess you just gotta take them across. The goats.
I guess your gear's just gonna stay with them, and you're not gonna get it back.
What's Julia Vandenoever?
We need to just get her on here to explain this to us.
Yeah, she's a professional. She took all these photos. Meeting the pack goats. I guess you can go in and pick which one you want. This one looks really skinny, though. That's tough.
All I know is that very first one did not look happy.
No, he does not look like he's ready.
That probably needs to be the thumbnail for this video. That picture right there.
That's funny.
Oh, my goodness. That's just funny. So, long story short, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do to get my wife to go backpacking. I might get her to go camping if we get a camper. So...
Yeah, that's a good first tip.
What I got. So, all right, next question, which for some reason is one of these weird, like, hey, let's be massive in size questions.
Big question.
Yes. Let's see here. When's the live podcast coming back? I miss them, and I think a lot of other people do, too. I'll stop leaving you none of the above comments on your gear if you bring it back next week. What's a person supposed to do on Monday nights? Watch football. Gag me with a spoon. That's from the 80s. We want the backpacking podcast live. Well, guess what? Next week, the backpacking podcast comes back to live streams again. And our first guests are who I like to call the Gear Bros. We got Steve from My Life Outdoors and Justin from Justin Outdoors who are going to be on here with us.
Oh, it's going to be a fun one, man.
It's going to be good.
The live backpacking podcast season has arrived.
That's right. Starts next week, 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Western time. This is not Western, it's Pacific.
Pacific, yeah. September.
Pacific time.
September 11th, 2023, first live, and then it'll come out on audio on the 13th across all platforms. But if you want to check it out early... on YouTube, we will be live. And then, of course, it'll be on there. It'll be on there.
Next Monday night. So, next question. Let's talk the pros and cons and personal opinions of Fjällräven. I'm hoping I said that right.
Yeah, Swedish company.
I'm sure it's not Fjällräven. So
Fjällräven.
I'm sure it's not that. Fjällräven, I think, is how it's pronounced.
Chapadl. Tarjay. That's how we pronounce it.
So, Jeremiah, you're the one that says you actually have an opinion on this, and you had something you were going to show us up on the screen.
Yeah, I'll switch over. I had this other tab pulled up. It is Fjällräven's website. And Fjällräven, which I believe means fox in Swedish.
Okay.
So, this is a Swedish company, and I pulled up the website because I wanted to take a look at some of the prices. I ordered one of their beanies, like, you know, just a hat. I hadn't tried out any of their products, and I had a gift card, and I said, I'm needing a new beanie. I lost my Patagonia one whenever I was backpacking up in the Whites. So looking at their website, it looks like everything is on sale, and I assume it's all on sale because no one will pay the prices that they're charging for all this gear. You know, this shirt is $170. Robust lumberjack shirt in warm wool blend produced without PFCs, made for a lifetime, .. And it is on sale for $136. Or this puffy jacket, long down parka, $600. Or this hat, $40. Let's see what kind of backpacking gear that they have.
They have a ton of gear.
What about trekking backpacks? That would be us, right?
Here's a question. I'm wondering if some of those prices are due to the fact that they're in Sweden and it's hard to get stuff from Sweden to the United States.
I think they're going to charge you that price, and then they're going to charge you however much it costs in shipping too.
Maybe, but I hear like certain companies are just way cheaper over in Europe than they are here. I could be wrong about that, but I've heard people say that before.
Well, it looks like their backpacks are pretty typical price. I don't know how good they are, but their clothing is outrageous. And I think the reason it costs so much is because it has this logo, Fjall Raven logo. But I just wanted to quickly check out.
And by the way, I looked it up online. It's Fjall Raven.
Fjall Raven. Okay.
Well, Fjall Raven.
I just Googled their website, and you can click these. It says people also ask on Google. And the first one says, why is it so expensive? Fjall Raven. It's due to their top quality quality materials like Ventilon F and EcoShell. These durable, long-lasting materials justify the higher price tag for backpacks. And then the next one says, what is so special about it? In true Swedish style, we focus on simplicity and practicality. And we have the utmost respect for the environment. This is what we do. Develop functional, durable, and timeless outdoor gear.
All right. So if it's timeless, does that mean they have like the Osprey warranty on their stuff?
That's a good question. Let's see if they give you a warranty on the products. I doubt it. I'm just going to search warranty on their website. Warranty repair. There are no search results for warranties, but they do have a tab, warranty policy. They're committed to maintaining blah, 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 authorized dealers. If you want to do a repair, you need clear photos of the full item. You need a proof of purchase and your current shipping address. Accidental damage, they're not covered. These are not covered. Stains, improper care, melted zippers, rips, tears, cuts, fabric abrasion, shrinkage, and a faux fur trim repair. So I'm guessing they don't have the the quality warranty like Osprey. Because you can buy like an Osprey, and then if the whole bottom's blown out and you bought it secondhand, you can still send it to them. They'll send you a new one. So
they'll send you a brand new one. And the funny thing is, like, Osprey packs are like tanks, dude. You really have to try and damage them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, interesting question. I'm glad you looked that up, man, because I honestly, when I saw that question, I was like, I have no clue. I never use their stuff.
Now, for the record.
Last question.
Okay, go ahead.
This is from FU Mike. That's kind of a interesting name. Hi, first time texter, long time sub. My question is to you is, which is preferred, pooping uphill or downhill? Of course, this is the last question of
the day.
That's
a good
question. And honestly, these weren't put in any order. I just put them in however they were asked. So, which is preferred for you, Jeremiah?
Well, we have to take into account how much the incline is. Because if the incline's steep enough and you are facing downhill, maybe you got your hand up against a tree so you don't roll down the hill. That hill may be a little bit too close for comfort to your butt. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you mean if it's going uphill, like if you're pooping in the direction of uphill?
If you are facing downhill.
Facing downhill. Okay, so you're pooping uphill.
Yeah, that means like for a visual, here's the hill and your butt. Your butt's back here almost touching the ground and your face is like further downhill.
Yeah. I'm downhill say, every time for me.
I want to face uphill.
Yeah, I want to face uphill, but I want to poop downhill.
You don't want
every time.
You don't want that poop. Let's say it's a bad one. You don't want it running downhill toward where you're standing. That could be a costly mistake.
Well, and let's just be honest too. You've got your pants around your knees. If you're pooping the wrong direction, you risk getting stuff where you don't want it to go.
Yeah,
on your clothing.
Could be a fatal flaw.
It could be an awful fatal flaw. So I would definitely say downhill is the only way to go on this one.
Yeah, yeah. And you can kind of hang on to a tree.
Yeah. I mean, my worst experience ever pooping was actually at the Red River Gorge. And I got up one morning, and there's this one campsite you and I have both been to where it's on this cliff. And I got up that morning and I had to go, but I was like, you know, it's only about a mile hike down to the parking lot. So I'm going to hike on down to the parking lot, and there's a privy there. I'm just going to go in the privy. I'm going to win the game. Mm-hmm. I got halfway down the hill hiking down to that, and there was no way I was going to make it. But there's not really any good places to go in the woods there. And so I went over off to the one side, left my pack, got my gear, or got my poop kit. And the only place I could go was off the side of a cliff. Now, I know for a fact there's no trail down below there. So, but it was not very leave your own trace or leave no trace. I definitely left a trace for somebody down there. I did pack out the toilet paper though, because there was really no place to put it. So, but yeah, downhill all day.
Oh, good t-shirt, man. Sometimes you got to leave a trace.
Sometimes you can't help it. You're going to leave a trace.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, man, anything else that you want to talk about today before we sign off on this episode?
Well, I will say it's interesting. I have been getting some comments at work of people listening to this podcast.
Uh-oh. And
no, there's no uh-oh. It's just some of the kids, they think it's funny, I think, that we talk about poop. Like, this is a whole different world. You know, from before you discover backpacking, I mean, you never knew about the intricacies of all these things that we talk about and the experiences that you get. So it's interesting hearing some of the kids talking about it and watching the show, and then they talk about it to another teacher, and then that teacher is like, I hear you got a podcast about poop or something like that, you know. And I'm like, how fitting. But no, that was it. I hope everybody tunes in, you know, and checks out the live streams as we start that back up. Because it's really fun interacting with people. It's fun doing the Q&As and answering y'all's comments and hearing y'all's opinions on the polls and all that. It's just fun, you know. It's kind of like a little hangout. So